Welcome to the worldwide broadcast of the Ted and Austin Brower Show, bringing you the latest world news and health research. Hope everyone's having an absolutely fantastic day today. Interesting to see yesterday that gold ran up to, I think, 1605 an ounce. I think this morning it was back up at 1610. And now they're saying that gold is nearing its 7-year high, and they're expecting it to hit around 1700 in the very near future because of what's going on with the coronavirus now. And what another article came out from Zero Hedge yesterday, and this is interesting to add, evidence from Bloomberg now is revealing a massive cracking global supply chain is fast emerging as major Chinese ports with thousands of containers of frozen meats are piling up with nowhere to go, containing pork, chicken, beef, all piling up at Shanghai, Ningbo, and Qiyang because of the lack of truck drivers and transportation networks remain closed, and because they do not have basically enough outlets to plug these ships in, or these containers in, seaports in China are quickly running out of room to house any containers and cannot provide enough electricity points to keep the containers cold. They said there's also footage of oil tanker parking lot off the Singapore coast this week as refiners in China cut runs as crude consumption has collapsed by more than 4 million barrels a day. It's clear there's a logistical nightmare unfolding as two-thirds of the entire Chinese economy has effectively shut down its production capacity, producing a demand shock. They said it's not just the frozen meats, though, that are piling up. There's a high risk that product shortages in Western countries could be 60 to 90 days out. And this is exactly what I brought up yesterday when I told you guys. It's basically showing now, if you do the research, when it comes to pharmaceutical drugs, about 90% of pharmaceutical drugs have some type of impact, whether it be production, manufacturing, packaging, so forth. 90% are involved with some shape or form with China. And now they're saying that within 60 to 90 days, regardless of what happens with this corona, even if the coronavirus basically just magically disappears overnight and it's completely a better and everything's perfect, we're still going to see a massive shock in the next 2 to 3 months. So something I wanted to bring up and let you guys know that this is not something that I've been ranting about for no reason for the last couple of weeks. This is definitely a very, very serious problem that is on the horizon, Dad. What do you think?
Well, Austin, number one, China had a massive shortage of pig. I mean, all their pigs got this viral stuff, and I sometimes wonder if that's all connected to what's happening over there. And they literally had to kill, you know, hundreds of thousands, millions of pigs, whatever the number ended up being. Who knows? A lot of dead animals. And they ran out of food, basically. There was a huge shortage, and the pork prices went through the roof, and so they started bringing in huge amounts of pork from, you know, our Midwest, from Iowa, Illinois, the giant pork facilities there. And now they're on these container ships, and these containers that they're in have their own air conditioning units and freezing units. They're like giant refrigerators that they put this meat in, and they send it frozen across the ocean in the huge transport ships, the huge barges they use to bring these things across the ocean. They all have these plug-ins where they plug all of these containers in that have pork or meat or spoilable products in them. Some of them are refrigerated. Some of them are frozen. Some of them don't need electricity because they're like automobiles or whatever, or goods and services like distillers, like we talked about a few weeks ago. The problem they have now is that China was already running out of food, and now they basically have the food sitting in the ports, and they don't have enough electrical outlets to plug the containers into, and so this pork's just rotting on the ship, on the containers. But yeah, I don't think China's going to worry about that because it'll just take them and dump them out in the ocean like they dump everything else out in the ocean as far as the spoilage of this stuff. They're pretty nasty over there as far as how they handle stuff. And remember, China's a communist country. It's basically a slave country. Now, what do I mean by that? The people there are held accountable for their production. They're basically slave labor. They're paid pennies on the dollar to their American counterparts. That's why so many corporations have moved over there. And they're treated like animals. And they're herded like animals. And the other day I saw the video of them being chained up and basically roped and everything else and being dragged off into detention facilities, containment facilities. You know, they weren't being marched along freely. They were being like dragged along. You know, then you see yesterday the video came out and I posted it on the website of this guy driving through one of the downtown areas there in Wuhan, and literally within a 2-block period, there were like 25 body bags laying out on the sidewalk waiting to be picked up by trash or recycling or incinerators or whatever. And, of course, they realize now that there's such a problem in Wuhan alone that China is now deploying 40 human incinerators to Wuhan. These are portable incinerators with their own propane tanks or fuel tanks attached to them just to burn the bodies. Now, guys, now this is pretty bad. I mean, all of the dozens of, I think there's like 40 or 50 incinerators already in Wuhan. Now they're having to bring 40 more in because they can't handle the load. So they're throwing bodies into the incinerators as fast as they possibly can. I saw several videos of them digging huge pits with liners in them. Now, what they're putting in there, I don't know. They said that this could be a mass grave area. I don't know. Who knows? Because this country is so quiet as far as, you know, what it says. And when it says stuff, it's pretty much lying. But here's how they're looking at it. The Macau casinos have reopened. Now, in other words, here we have a group of people that are so addicted to gambling that even though there's this massive pandemic that's hitting there that's infecting tens of thousands, hundreds of thousands, if not millions of people right now, they got to keep the gambling going because the people who run the gambling are basically the, how should I say this, the Chinese mafia. They're being controlled by the Sabatang Kambalas to this entire global network of mafiosa. And they have to keep the sheeple who are dying. Now they're requiring them to wear masks. That's unbelievable. Can you see the scene, guys? You go into a Macau casino and you have this super elegant casino, and all these guys are at the tables wearing masks, coughing and halfing, about to die, about to cough up a lung, and as they throw the dice the last time, they drop dead. I mean, what kind of nonsense is this? They're dropping dead while they're throwing the dice, but they get to keep the revenue stream, I guess, going like that. And China now is basically reducing the curbing to restore production of its facilities. The virus hit industrial cities are starting to ease curbs against the coronavirus. In other words, the slaves of China have to work. The slaves have to produce. You slave, get in there. Put your mask on. You work till you drop dead. Then we pick you up, throw you in a portable incinerator. We don't give you a funeral. We don't even tell anybody you died. We throw you into an incinerator. Next slave! Next slave gets on the same spot. They work until they fall, and they drop dead. Kind of gets back to kind of like it was in the doggone concentration camps, the slave labor camps, and how so many of the people were worked until they died. This is what it's turning into. And so this is something we need to understand that's happening in China. But in the meantime, they're telling us, move on. Nothing to see here. Things are getting much, much better. And what we'll do is we'll have Trump send out a bunch of tweets. So Barr will say, I'm probably going to resign if Trump doesn't stop sending out tweets, rather than just going in and just pardoning everybody he wants to pardon right now. But we've got to continue to push the narrative, nothing to see here, nothing happening. And it's crazy, Austin. I mean, it's almost as if we've got a pandemic destroying the largest country on the planet right now with over a billion people living in there, but yet nothing to see here, move on. But now we're having people being diagnosed in California with coronavirus. I mean, it's here now, and we had like five people hospitalized in California yesterday with the coronavirus, not to mention this unbelievably horrid beta test of the Princess Carnival cruise ship. Notice I put Carnival in there. I recommend that you never get on a Carnival ship again. I mean, like I told you yesterday, when I was on that V-Dam and it got that normal house, there were dirty dishes and dirty plates and dirty forks and dirty tables everywhere, and we couldn't get them clean. And I complained and complained and complained about it. The meat, I got pictures of the videos. I got pictures of it. Excuse me. The luncheon meat. I thought we were getting beef. And then the number one ingredient in luncheon meat was soy. I mean, it wasn't even real beef. None of it was even real. It was just all fake. So, guys, you know, stay away from Carnival. If you're going to do a cruise when this thing's all over with, it's a little pricier, but use a Crystal ship. Get one of those things on special. They're pretty good food quality, and they're a lot cleaner. And I'm just – not that I'm promoting Crystal, but I've only been on one Crystal cruise in my entire life, but it was pretty good. I mean, it was actually the best cruise I've ever been on. But it's just, you know, don't do Carnival. Don't do that. I mean, just stay away from these guys. And, guys, remember – this circus clown show that they're doing right now here in the United States, nothing to see here, move on. I mean, you know, it's ridiculous. I mean, look at Boeing. Now they're finding tools and trash in the fuel tanks of the 737 Dreamliner. Basically, now they're going to have to go back and get down inside of all the fuel tanks to find out who left wrenches and nuts and maybe toolboxes. Who knows? Can Boeing no longer even build an aircraft? Probably not. So this is the craziest thing that I've ever seen with what's going on with Boeing. If they weren't such a huge government-subsidized organization, they'd be bankrupt for the junk they've been doing, if not sued into oblivion when all these people just died. Guys, it's important, okay, to keep your hearts and your minds on Jesus Christ and to realize that he's the author and he's the finisher and he's the perfecter of our faith. And all of this stuff is being done around us, and all of this obfuscation is being done so that you don't think about what's going on with the Kabbalists, with the Luciferians, with the stuff we talked about yesterday, which is really kind of disgusting. We want to realize, guys, that we have to focus on Jesus. And all of these people get on national TV and they talk about God. No. Whose God are they talking about? Let's talk about Jesus. Let's talk about the great I Am. Let's talk about our Messiah, Christ Jesus. Let's just talk about who's born in Bethlehem. Let's talk about him, because he's the one that changed everything, guys. And because of that, oh death, where's thy victory? Where's thy sting? He's removed the fear of death from all of us, because from this point forward, as a born-again Christian, we live forever. Remember that. You say, why are you saying that, Ted? Because I've got to do something. I've got to tell you guys the good news. This is the good news, because this thing with the coronavirus in China, guys, yeah, I hate to do this, but it's getting much worse. It ain't getting any better. They just moved in 40 incinerators just to get rid of the bodies that are stacking up. I mean, this is not okay for the Chinese people. I feel really, really sorry for them. But guys, here's the thing. Greater is he who is in us than he who is in the world. Remember that, because we can do all things through Christ who strengthens us. Remember, though, 10,000 fall on one side or 10,000 on another side, it doesn't make any difference. He's going to protect you. He's going to protect you from the plague. But guys, do your part. You pray, you eat clean, you stay away from this stuff. Like last night, we were at Kendall's dedication, my little granddaughter, and one of the pastors of the church, he was walking around shaking everybody's hands. And he finally got to me, and I looked at him. I said, please forgive me for not shaking hands. I said, you know, we've had a lot of people in the family with colds, et cetera, and I'm just trying to avoid all this stuff. He goes, okay, no problem. Just be polite and just say, you know, please forgive me. Just say, that's the easy way to do it. Just, please forgive me for not shaking hands. We've had some people with colds in our family, and I'm trying not to pass this stuff on. Just use precaution like that. Just stay away. I mean, think about it for a second. If somebody's just shaking 100 people's hands, I guarantee you probably, what's the statistic? 80% of those 100 people didn't wash their hands the last time they used the bathroom. So I can guarantee you that he's got fecal coliform on his hand. 100% guarantee it. No, without even a question. So why do I want to, like, engage in that? Like, okay, let me rub some of that on my hand. And I just said, nah, I'm passing on this. Hey, guys, I'm not trying to be mean. I'm not trying to be rude. I'm not trying to be, you know, condescending. That's not my point here. My point is, let's think about this from a biological standpoint, and there's just certain things we need to avoid and certain things we need to do. Take your D3K2. Take your iodine. Take your vitamin C every day. And guys, thank you for getting those products directly from us at healthmasters.com, because if you weren't here to support us, we couldn't be here telling you the news about what's happening around the world, latest health research, and we couldn't be sharing with you the good news about Jesus. I appreciate you guys. Also, what do you think?
Well, that was extremely well said. Also, too, in other news that's going on right now, this is something that's been getting very little media coverage whatsoever because, again, they don't want to talk about this. Eastern Oregon residents and Northern California residents now have become so fed up with the state's hardcore leftist Democratic politicians that are trying to push communism on their states. They've now actually got numerous pamphlets and letters and everything they're working on around. They're actually talking about putting this on the ballot with all the proposals that they have together and all the signatures that they've gotten together on joining Idaho, basically changing the border lines and making the greater Idaho part of Oregon and Northern California being absorbed into Idaho. They said, we're picking up momentum. It's taking a lot of oomph to get this started, but it's definitely getting a lot of traction with multiple counties now allowing voters to weigh in on the proposal and possibility of getting the measure on the ballot in November. And this is happening, I mean, very, very quickly right now because, you know, most of the Northern California areas, they're actually quite conservative. So Southern California, it's a failed state. Just put it that way. I mean, there's no other way to put it. Southern California is a complete and total failed state. If they didn't have the federal bailouts and they didn't have the massive amount of state income tax bringing in from a lot of the northern states, Southern California would be one giant homeless internment camp, one giant one, if they didn't have the massive sales state income tax and the federal bailouts. Remember, they get like $100 billion a year in federal grants for all kinds of stupid stuff all the time over there. Because, dude, I mean, it's a failed state. It's a communist state. The only way to function is a complete siphon off the government. And same thing with Oregon that's happening now. And I've seen so many people that are getting so frustrated because then this happened in Denver, Colorado. Colorado in general, this happened in numerous states where you have these unbelievably idiotic, ignorant people that are hardcore leftists completely and totally ruin their state. Income tax, state income tax goes through the roof. Cost of living goes through the roof. Quality of living completely goes through the floor. Everything goes essentially to HE double sticks and it's a complete and total failed state. And they go, well, that sucks for here. This state's horrible. We don't want to live here anymore. And they move to the next neighboring state and they do the exact same thing they did to ruin the state they just left. And people have had enough of it. They've had absolutely enough of it. And I mean, we're dealing with the same thing down here in Florida right now. We have a massive influx of people moving here from California, from northeast areas. Not to mention, we have hundreds of thousands of people that are still migrating here from Puerto Rico via federal grants. And almost all of them are hardcore leftists when you talk to them. And if they're not hardcore leftists, they're pretty much straight up socialists as far as when their ideology, when it comes down to when you actually talk to them. And they're trying to do everything they can to ruin the state of Florida. And it's frustrating to see this. And we're seeing it happen over and over and over again, state by state by state. So now Idaho's basically said, hey, sure, you guys want to come in here, we'll change the border lines, we'll move some stuff around. I don't know if they're going to get any flack. It would definitely be the year to do it with Donald Trump trying to get reelected as far as getting approval federally to do that. But guys, we have to start making a stand with a lot of this. I mean, down here in Florida, we're getting so engulfed. It's next to impossible to get anything done on the state level. We have Republicans now that are being so heavily funded by Bloomberg that, I mean, they're talking about pushing mandatory background checks on every single firearm purchase and all kinds of other stupid stuff. Republicans, because they have to go and change Florida into a, because it's such a big swing state. So please, if you're in these states, like I told you guys in Virginia yesterday, you guys, I mean, they got absolutely hit. Red flag gun laws, mandatory background checks. Again, the Democrats didn't lose. They didn't lose at all. This is their plan all along. They knew if they pushed hard enough that they would get a couple of these through. And the red flag gun laws, I mean, I look down here in Florida. Last year, we had over 3,000 firearms confiscated in Florida via red flag gun laws. In one county alone, Broward County down in South Florida, the police department seized 412 guns in just that county alone by filing 255 petitions under the state's red flag gun law. Think about that for a second. If you have roughly 3,000 firearms being seized every single year, roughly, that's just warm-up, and you start having that, think about that, over 10 years, that's 30,000 firearms seized if the numbers don't continue to rise just via red flag gun laws. And this is what I've warned everybody about in the states that don't have this horrific law yet. Do the best you can not to allow your politicians to put this crap into law, because they are 100% going to use this to slowly start disarming the American population. First, it's people with mental illnesses. Then it's people that basically are talking about things that other people don't agree with. Now it's turned into basically they're discussing the fact that, you know, hate speech, which I don't even know how you define hate speech anymore. It's such a broad topic. Anybody gets offended is considered hate speech. They've now started adding that to the list now. So now if somebody, you say something to somebody that they don't like and they get offended, they go and turn you in for hate speech, and they can probably get a red flag gun law issued on you, order issued on you, and get your firearms seized because basically they don't agree with what you said. That's where it's turning into now. And so, and they've already done this now. In numerous cases in Florida, they've arrested people or at least taken their firearms via red flag gun law just because of memes they've posted. Remember in Connecticut, they went in and arrested that one kid because he went out of state and bought a couple magazines and brought them back into the state, standard capacity magazines. They came in and said, no, we basically been monitoring you. You bought magazines that are illegal in Connecticut. We're charging you with felonies now. This is the war that's going on, and nobody's talking about it in most cases. Everybody's sweeping it under the rug, pretending it's not going to happen. The problem is, there's going to be a reckoning. There's going to be a big reckoning here very soon if this continues to go on, because eventually people are not going to put up with this crap. And we already saw what the individuals in Virginia did last week, or not last week, last month. I mean, that was very stout what they did. Think about that happening in every single major city in every state across the country. And that would just take a small fraction of the population of the United States. But I believe that's really the point that we're about to have to start doing this in this country if we don't want to go to a full-blown gun confiscation, martial law, UN troops on the street aspect of it. We're going to have to start being proactive, and we're going to have to start being much more aggressive with our stance on maintaining our constitutional rights to keep and bear arms, Dan.
You know, Austin, it's frustrating to me because, you know, on this show, on our show, we tell you the truth about who's doing this, and we tie everything always back to the international banking cartel and their satanic networks. All of it. From Hollywood to the bankers to gun confiscation to communism to the, you know, to Lenin to Stalin to Churchill, who was a druid. I mean, we go into detail on all of this stuff on whose agenda are they following. And that would be the Benandi Nephilim, sons of the fallen, who consider themselves to be above us because they have different DNA than us. They complain, they claim they have the DNA of Lucifer surging through their veins. And this is who runs the planet. I mean, it's turning, they called it, you know, prison planet, you know, for years, and now we're kind of calling it, with the coronavirus, death planet. I mean, they do whatever they want to do. If they want to pass abortion laws and kill 60 million people in the United States, they just pass abortion laws and kill 60 million people in the United States. If Margaret Sanger wants to talk about black people like they're animals and how horrible they are and how they need to be basically castrated and kept from breeding, which she did, by the way, that's what she said in basically a paraphrased statement. And then she said they need to go to their churches and get their pastors to tell them basically to go get abortions and get sterilized. I mean, and then Hillary Clinton gets the Margaret Sanger Award, and she says it's the most wonderful award I've ever received. And yet the Democrats, and bless their hearts, the black folks that support this stuff, don't even take a look at who's saying it and what they're saying and why they believe what they believe. It's always the same people who do this, guys. It's always these Sabbatean Zevi followers. It's always these Kabbalists. It's always these guys that practice the ancient Babylonian mystery religions of Canaanites, Baal, Moloch, Asherah. All of it. It's always the same group. It's the same group that did the pornography in Hollywood that I talked about yesterday in brief, not much. And what they do and what they how they promote this completely degenerative agenda to our children and to the people who look at this stuff who get addicted to it. And people need to understand that if you're listening to alternative talk shows, now I'm just going to just be real, just blunt here right now, and they're not talking about the whole picture like I do and like Austin does, and they're basically giving you, oh, by the way, Trump's tweeting and blah, blah, blah. William Barr says he's going to resign now because Trump's tweets. Okay, all right. That's what they're telling you. That's the surface. And those things may actually be going on. But it's orchestrated. It's like a script in a Hollywood movie. You know, they're told to say these things. They're told to do these things. And they know that if they do certain things, other people are going to respond a certain way. Heck, Facebook can determine what you're going to buy after 100 likes or so. They know. They pretty much have you already pegged as far as what you're going to do, what you're going to say, and what you're going to not do. They knew what William Barr was going to say if Trump started doing this. So he does it, and then he says it. They already know in advance what's going to happen because they predict it. It's predictive programming is what all of this stuff is. And you say, well, how does that tie into the doggone bankers? I mean, how does that – the bankers control Trump, guys. I don't know. I still am just in awe that people can't see this. William Barras and Adelson got him out of his casino nightmare, gave him billions of dollars back in the 80s through the Rothschild Bank. I mean, this is – I mean, it's just history. This is what happened with Donald Trump. Donald Trump had all kinds of perverted friends like Cohn and also like Roger Stone that he will have to pardon. I mean, Roger Stone knows so much stuff about Donald Trump. Donald Trump doesn't want Roger Stone running his mouth. I'm sure they went to some of their, how should I say this, their Babylonian parties or whatever the weird stuff these guys are involved in together. You know, I don't know. That is speculation on my part, but we know that Trump sure does like his women and sure does like to not be celibate and Remember what I told you guys? I'm going to say this again because a lot of you are new here listening. Donald Trump had a reputation, and it ended up being in one of the books that was written about him. And what the reputation was, that let's say he meets Joe, and Joe's a business guy, and Joe's got a real hot wife. Donald Trump would intentionally do everything he could to seduce Joe's wife just to prove that he could dominate Joe by having intercourse with the man's wife. You say, well, he wouldn't really do that. Yeah, he really did that. He really did that, guys. That was his reputation. I have a friend of mine who's a pastor. Now, listen to me for a second. This is firsthand information. I'm not giving you this crazy stuff. This is from my friend who had this told to him. My friend is a pastor of a megachurch. He has a stunningly beautiful wife. She's stunningly beautiful, all right? He was warned when he went to West Palm and he set up a church down there and he met Donald Trump to keep Donald Trump away from his wife because Donald Trump was going to try to have her. I mean, I can't see it much clearer than that without getting crude. Now, this is the craziest thing that I've ever seen. This man has this reputation. And yet, nobody wants to look at this. The Christians are pretending. This is a pastor told me this, guys, that he was warned by Trump's friends not to let him get near his wife because this is what he would do. That's one of the little games he likes to play. Now, guys, that's a man of zero character, zero morals, zero fiber of any type of anything I want to have anything in my life of. I mean, that's just a doggone sicko. I mean, if somebody came after my wife, who was supposed to be a friend of mine or somebody that I knew, just to do that, oh my gosh, I would go berserkoid, all right? The problem is, because of the fact he's Rothschild-backed, mob-backed, let me just be clear about that. Mob, M-O-B-backed. You don't build stuff in New York City without being in bed with the mob. And you don't own casinos without being in bed with the mob. He pretty much has been let go to do anything he wants to do whenever he wants to do it, including running for president of the United States. Let's remember who this man is. He's the one who pushed red flag gun laws. He's the one who did it in Florida after the Parkland shooting. He's the one who basically has allowed all of this stuff to happen around us, and yet everybody keeps making excuses for him. I've got one good friend of mine. She's a great friend, and she says to me, she goes, well, the only reason Trump's doing this is because of Ivanka and Jared. They're running the White House. And I'm like, wait a minute. If they're running the White House, that makes Trump a puppet to basically his son-in-law, which is nonsense. It's not true. He's doing what he's being told to do, and he's doing it as a showman, as basically a P.T. Barnum. And he's completely and totally controlled. Ask Chuck Baldwin. We've had him on the show so many times. Read his articles. He'll give you statistics, names, dates, places, everything else. This is the stuff that nobody wants to talk about. You say, well, this is not popular because Donald Trump, everybody loves Donald Trump. I'm going to say this. I voted for Donald Trump. We promoted Donald Trump on the show. What did we do? We had a choice between him and the witch of Benghazi. Okay, there you go. We just got rid of the gay Kenyan and his transgender wife. So now we want to go with the witch of Benghazi and the unbelievable career criminal Clintons after what they did in Mena, Arkansas. No. We had no options at this last time. We had to make sure Hillary Clinton didn't get in office because she was, again, put there by the Rothschild Inc. Remember, Donald Trump said after he won the election that he and Hillary Clinton, they were good people. They were good friends with each other. I mean, they go to each other's weddings. I mean, this guy's an insider. I mean, he hangs out with all this scum. He was friends with Jeffrey Epstein, for heaven's sakes. All these guys are interlocked at the top circles through their weird stuff they're involved in. So let's put him where he's supposed to be. We voted for him because we had no choice. We were hoping and praying that he was going to do what he said he was going to do. I personally believe that he was actually planning on doing what he said he was going to do to start with, and they gave him the talk. Now, I have to believe that. And now we've got this guy who's going to get reelected in 2020. They're doing everything they have to hold the stock market together for this guy, including these huge amounts of, you know, repo loans are still pumping into the market of trillions and trillions and trillions of dollars in the last 3 or 4 months. And it doesn't make any difference. I mean, nobody pays any attention to what's really happening. If the Federal Reserve Bank wanted Donald Trump out of office right now, they would just contract the M1 money supply, stop the repo loans, the doggone stock market would drop by 2/3, it'd drop back down to probably $8,000 or $9,000 or $10,000, and it would do it in a free fall if it was allowed to, especially now that China is in a situation where it can't even produce goods and services any longer, and it can no longer supply us the stuff we have. You know what's going to happen to our GDP if we can't get the parts together to put the machines together, to put the cars together, to put the computers together, and all the stuff that we do in the United States with parts that are made in China? I mean, it's going to completely collapse the GDP of the United States. Yet, the Dow Jones continues to go up. because it's manipulated by the same guys. And they're the same guys who took down Building 7. Pick a number. It's who these guys are. And they run the world, and they run it very heavily, heavy-handedly. And we need to understand that. And now here, Zuckerberg, this is great. This is the death of free speech, Zero Hedge article. Zuckerberg, another Rothschild cutout, who's basically given this giant platform with Facebook. He had nothing to do with this expansion of this thing because he was funded through the international banking cartels. Zuckerberg is now asking the governments for instructions. Listen to this. On what discourse should be allowed on Facebook? Whoa, are you listening to me? We're talking pure censorship. It appears that Facebook's chief executive, Mark Zuckerberg, has relented in a way that might prove a death knell for free speech in the West. Zuckerberg seems to relent in asking governments now for regulations stipulating what speech will be permitted on Facebook and other platforms. It is the ultimate victory of France, Germany, England in their continuing attack on free expression through hate speech laws and speech regulation. Now Zuckerberg's going along with it. Guys, think about this. In Germany, you can't even use the word Third Reich. You can't say fatherland. You can't say Nazi. You can't say Adolf Hitler unless you're doing it in a context, in a historical sense, in a classroom. I had friends that were here for you several years ago, and I started asking them questions about what they believed and were taught in Germany, and they physically became scared because they said, we can't talk about those. Those words are verboten. We can't use those words. I'm like, you can't use words? No! Remember, they don't have the Constitution like we have in the United States. When the United States went in there, they didn't give them the Constitution we have. Because the United States wrote, remember, the United States put together the Constitution after World War II because Germany was completely crushed. And Germany's still a vassal state of the United States to this point. They still are controlled by the United States. And people need to understand that. And Merkel, being a communist raised in East Germany, has done everything she can to destroy Germany and to destroy free speech in Germany. I mean, guys, this is so important that we understand what's really going on, who's really doing this, why they're doing it, and basically realizing that this thing's not going to get any better unless we, the people of the United States of America, wake up and we say, we're not going to put up with this anymore. We're simply not going to put up with this anymore. Guys, if freedom of speech is changed in all of these different media things, if all of this stuff happens, you know, here in the United States, and we lose the ability to communicate, like on a show like this, because it's going to be deemed hate speech, well, I can pretty much guarantee you some of the things that we say, because we don't recognize the 77,000 genders now that are possible, from being a sponge to being a rat to being a starfish. We don't recognize that on this show. It's going to be deemed hate speech. If they have the ability to do this to us and start to regulate this, it's what they want to do, because that way they can maintain the narrative. See, here's how a dictatorship works, like they have in Europe and in the Soviets and the Rothschilds, and how they're setting it up. They say you could talk from A to C on this list of conversational topics. You can't go to D or E or anything else. You can't go there. You have to stay from A to C. Now, the debate can be vigorous and from A to C. Oh, Attorney Barr. Oh, he's going to handle. He's going to quit because of Trump. We can talk about that. Oh, Roger Stone. Oh, we can talk about that. Okay, it's impeachment. It was absolutely awful. Okay, we can talk about it. Still A to C. And so they let you have vigorous debate from A to C. You get to D or E. Can't talk about that. Why? Because they're controlling the narrative. And so the people have a sense of freedom because they can talk about from A to C. We, you know, we have freedom of speech. We talk about Roger Stone and Barr and Hillary. Okay, yeah, well, you got that freedom of speech. We can even say that Barack Obama is the gay Kenyan. Yeah, you can too, because Joan Rivers brought that one out. But you can't go much further than that. See, Barack Obama is still being used by the communist handlers, which are the Rothschilds, to continue to do what he's supposed to do as far as pushing this communist narrative globally, including in the United States, behind the scenes. See, he was always a puppet. Just like Donald Trump has always been a puppet, like Hillary's a puppet. They're characters in a script, and they were made to be huge. They're made to be super wealthy, super known. They get on any show they want to get on, whenever they want to get on it, because they continue to build their name. So they have to have this huge name. This is why when Michael Jackson started to wake up and started to tell the truth, they had to kill the name. They couldn't martyr him. They had to completely discredit him. Now, I don't know what he was involved in with all these kids. I have no idea. But they had to destroy the name. They have to destroy who he was. They've got to destroy him. You know, Jim Carrey got off script, started talking about immunizations with Jenny McCarthy and about autism. And all of a sudden, they destroyed his career. They pretty much took him out. Suddenly, he gets back out. He stops talking about autism, stops talking about vaccines, starts hammering Donald Trump, starts doing all this crazy stuff. And all of a sudden, because they spent so much money having Jim Carrey's name get so big to start with, they put him back in the limelight. If they don't want to comply, all of a sudden, oh my gosh, they've been found dead with a heroin needle in their arm. Oh my gosh, they committed suicide. Oh my gosh, they hung themselves from a doorknob. Oh my gosh, they're dead. Oh my gosh, we don't know why they killed themselves. That list goes on and on and on. Once they get that name and they decide to break loose from the narrative and they start to decide that they're going to do something a little bit different, whoa. In most cases, they don't see the light of day very long. And the sad part about it is the United States is supposed to be the bastion of free speech and the bastion of democracy and the republic in the entire planet. But then we have people like the Syrian refugees. His name was Khalid Hiba. He fled Syria because we decided that we were going to cause a civil war there. And he got here to the United States in Baltimore. He was delivering pizza. He got shot and killed the other night. Here's a Syrian refugee who got shot and killed the other night because he came to the United States to deliver pizza to get out of Syria. He didn't realize he was going to another war zone in Baltimore. Why is that? Because these countries, our country, has certain cities and hotspots, like Austin said, like Southern California, which is a completely failed state, Baltimore, completely failed state. And all of these things, when you get this communist mantra going in them and you start pushing for this communist control and freedom of all this other stuff except to bear guns and control, it turns into this cesspool. And now the guy from Syria basically is dead because he ended up in the cesspool of Baltimore. And you say, well, that's awful, Ted. Well, yeah, it is awful. By the way, a lot of things they also do is based upon brain chemistry. Because they want to train you. They want a brain entrainment protocol to go with you. Here's an interesting article. How smartphone addiction changes your brain. Scans reveal how gray matter of tech addicts physically changes shape and size in similar way to drug users. German researchers examined the brains of 48 participants using MRI changes. A total of 22 people and smartphone addicts and 26 non-addicts made up the cohort. Researchers found diminished gray matter volume in key regions of the brain, a similar phenomenon observed in people who suffer with substance addiction. Guys, let me tell you something about your iPhone. Leave it alone. Just if you're not using it, don't use it. Don't be messing with it all of the time. Don't be pretending like you have to have it in your hand all the time. When you go out with your wife, unless you've got young children at home, right, you got to be notified by the babysitter if something goes wrong. When you go out with your wife, leave your stinking phone in the vehicle. Leave the phone in the vehicle. Don't take it with you. Just leave it in the car and say goodbye to it. Because, guys, you don't need to be using your doggone telephone all the time. Sometimes I just do a media break. I'll just, over the weekend, I'll just stop. I'm done. I'm out. I got to get some positive news. I'll read my scripture. I'll listen to praise and worship music. And I just get away from it. I wasn't raised with this technology, so I'm not addicted to it. I could take it or leave it. The reality is, though, because we do the talk show every day, I've got to do news stories, and I've got to go through hundreds of emails and articles every single day in order to bring you guys the latest health news and world research, and health world and research from all over the world. And so the problem is that people get addicted to this at a very, very young age. And Austin has talked to you about this so many times. I've talked about it so many times. Keep cell phones and smartphones away from young children in their developing brains. Let them go outside and play with a dump truck or go play with a doll or go play with whatever you want them to play with, as long as it's not a transgender Bobby doll. Blah, blah, blah. You know, I mean, cannot believe this stuff's out there now. Give them good stuff to play with and let them realize that, hey, good, look, guys, your kids need to develop the way they're supposed to develop and not being interfered with as far as brain development, being addicted to social media, being addicted to smartphones, and the constant dopamine triggers of basically being liked on Facebook, being liked on Instagram. Oh, they unfriended me. Whatever. Who cares? You think you're supposed to get along with everybody all of the time? You're not. It doesn't work that way. So if somebody unfriends you, just good riddance, goodbye, sayonara, I'm out. You know, guys, that's how you have to look at all of this stuff with social media. Use it as a tool, not as a crutch. Limit your time on the phone, you know, on your iPhone. Limit the time on your iPad. Limit your time on your Android. Just limit it and just stay away from it to the best of your really use it as a tool, not as a crutch, and keep your kids away from it until they're at least 16, 17 years old. Get them a doggone flip phone if you have to, but try to keep them from studying all this stuff online all the time and being involved in this ridiculous social media, which again is another control platform. They're using it like the Chinese have it, their social credit score. That's what all of this stuff is being used for. Very subtly with Facebook and with Instagram. My social credit score is these people, I have so many likes. My social credit score is these people must really be my friends because I talk to them online all the time. No, guys. Don't get involved in all that. Austin, what do you think, bud?
That's really well said, and that's one of the issues that I really contribute to the younger generation right now of why there's so many issues that culminated with the unbelievably horrific public school system and the just teachings they're giving them. That's a whole other topic. But yeah, the phone system, guys, I mean, it's become almost a new normal for parents just to stick their kids on an iPad or stick their kids on a phone. And I'm not saying your kids can't ever watch movies or something like that, but like with us, if our kids eat dinner and they want to watch a movie, they want to watch VeggieTales or something, I'll let them watch a movie in their room for 30, 45 minutes, and that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. Give us a little peace and quiet time for a few minutes. But for the most part, they run around all the time. They're always doing stuff. They'll be coloring, or Landon will be working on, you know, some little early school work with Hunter. Don't get so wrapped up in the whole social media platform and the whole phone system that it becomes such a normal to you that you think it's normal for your kids as well, because it's not. The young developing brain, and I've talked about repeated different research studies on this, is when children have hours of screen time a day, especially when they have these phones and these iPads that they shove in their face. Because remember, there's also a degree of addiction and a degree of exposure and a degree of essentially effects that become more and more negative the closer you are to a screen. Remember when you were kids, everybody was like, don't sit so close to the TV. You know, you got a big old, you know, analog TV. Don't sit so close to it. Sit far back. It's not good for your eyes, right? When you think about it nowadays, when you hold a phone or you hold an iPad, how far is it away from your face? It's right next to your face. Well, the issue with this is they've shown this. I have to pull it up again. When you're doing, say, you're watching a TV, and you're watching a TV from, say, 15, 20 feet away. You got a TV on the wall, you got a TV on the thing, 10, 15, 20 feet away. You're watching the television, but the television's only a very, very small part of your entire peripheral picture. You're seeing the rest of the room. You're seeing the windows. You're seeing the doors. You're seeing other stimuli that's going on. So you constantly have other things going on, and you can only become so engulfed in the television because it's not reality to the most part. What you see in it, yes, when you're younger, kids don't understand fiction from reality, but you also have a full spectrum of that's happening on TV. Well, when you hand a kid an iPhone, an iPad, you know, these big old, you know, 10-inch iPads they have now, 15-inch iPads, and you sit them down at a table or you sit them down in a car seat and they're holding the iPad, how far away is the iPad from their face? Usually just inches. I mean, you best believe it'd be hard to get them a foot away from the face. So they're staring in the iPad, completely engulfed in it. There's no other stimuli other than the giant iPad that's shoved in their face, and they become completely and totally engulfed in what they're seeing, and they become addicted to it. They become completely and totally dopamine trigger addicted to it. And so what happens is as these kids get older, they start to think that these phones, which release dopamine at a very young age, which is not healthy at all to have dopamine stimulated that hard at that young of an age, they start becoming almost in love with their phones. They become attached to their phones. In some cases, they become attached to their phones more than they do their friends or their family. And this is exactly what Dad's talking about. And then you throw in the social media aspect. Social media can be an incredibly good tool for marketing, for sales, for getting business out there. There's no question about it. Social media has revolutionized the business world. However, it's also completely degraded the younger generation. Because with these younger kids now, and they showed this with a article they came out with, it was like 2 or 3 years ago I talked about on the show, when they came up with the algorithms on Facebook, with Instagram, with Twitter, with all the stuff where you got likes, you have comments, you have the little hearts, all these different things, these emojis, these are all mimicked off the slot machine casino gambling. It's designed to give you a reward system. So when you do this, you get likes. When you do this, you get comments. When you do this, you get emojis. And so it slowly, at a very young age, conditions you to believe that this is your sole primary purpose. You're getting the largest amount of dopamine from this one activity, being on your phone via social media, than you do anything else in your life. And they've also shown these research studies that the longer you interact, as far as from a younger age, on these phones and these iPads, fewer things basically are exciting to you when you get older. So when you get a new bicycle, you're like, oh, that's cool, I got a new bicycle. But I got this new game on Xbox right now, and I got to check my Facebook, and I got to check my Instagram to see what's going on. Well, you just got a new bicycle, man. Don't you want to ride the bicycle around? Don't you want to build a wooden ramp and jump off of it? Don't you want to ride down to the retention pond? Yeah, we can do that later, but I got to check my Instagram. I got to check my Facebook. You know, I got this new game that just came out, and I'm about to unlock a new level on the video game. And this is what's happened to the younger generation now. That's why most of the kids now are becoming unbelievably obese. If they're not obese, they're unbelievably horrific shape when it comes to actual physical shape. They have very few social skills, and they truly believe that their social media and their Xbox games and their iPads and their iPhones are the most important things in your life. It's like Dad just said, last night, I had the kids with us. We were at church. You know, we got church at like 5:30. Guess where my phone was? I intentionally left it in the truck. Intentionally. Lana had hers with her that she didn't even use half the time. It's hard to even get a hold of her half the time on it, which is fine. And she wanted to use her camera, and that's fine. Use camera, use video, got a bunch of it on there. But I was like, I got the kids with me. My family's here. The office is shut down. There's nothing that's so rivally important to me right now while my daughter's being dedicated at church that I need to even have the inclination to even open my phone and look at it. Because everybody does that sometimes. You know, you accidentally, you're doing something, and you pick up your phone and check because you think you have a text message, and you don't have a text message. Well, ghost vibrations. There's a term they basically did on it, is that after you're on your phone a lot and you're constantly on your phone's buzzing, you're talking to people and you're doing work and you're back and forth, you'll actually start to hear your phone vibrate when it doesn't even vibrate, because you've heard it so much that you're already starting to train your brain into thinking your phone's having basically vibrated and it's ringing, and you go to check it inadvertently and nothing's on there. That's very, very common that that happens to people. And it's subconscious. You don't even realize it happens until you actually realize it happens. And I've realized it before, and I go, okay, just leave it alone. So, again, I encourage everybody, leave your phones at home sometimes. Or if you have to, leave them in the car. Like that's it. If you got a babysitter, especially if, you know, they're with good family, like if I leave the kids with, you know, mom and dad, I'm really not worried about it. You know, if something happens to them, they're going to be able to do a lot more than I can if I'm 30, 45 minutes down the road eating dinner in Atlanta. They're going to be the first ones there. So calling me, whether or not I'm a few minutes late to answer the phone, isn't going to make that big of a deal. Because if something's an emergency and they got to rush them to the ER because they got a compound fracture, they're going to do it whether or not they notify me at all, and I'm going to find out when I check my phone. So just be aware of that, and don't be so concerned about being on your phone all the time. And please, please keep your kids off these iPads. There's no legitimate purpose. There's no legitimate purpose for these kids to be on these iPads all the time. And this is why, in my particular opinion, I believe that the public school system has increased the iPad usage and pushed all the usage for iPads. Most schools now, if you noticed, they don't even use textbooks anymore. They may have a couple here or there, but you remember back in the day, you go to school and you always got 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 books in your backpack. Your backpack was like 30 pounds. Not anymore. There's no books. Everything's on iPad. You just have an iPad with you everywhere because they want to push the kids into being on an iPad all day long. They're at school 6, 7, 8 hours a day on an iPad. They go home and have to basically do homework on an iPad. They get done with homework. What do they want to do? Be on an iPad or be on a video game. When they get done with that, what do they want to do? They want to check their phone. They want to check their iPad again. It's all designed to get people hooked into these smartphones that we call smartphones, but are legitimately dumbing us down. I mean, they don't even have regular clocks in most schools anymore. They're going to digital clocks now. I don't know if most people know that. Most just regular, you know, secondhand clocks, normal clocks that we've had for a very, very long time, hundreds of years, they're taking them out of school systems because the younger generation, they're not teaching them how to read clocks anymore. It's all digital clocks. The kids don't have real watches. They're all iWatches now. They're all digital watches. These kids literally do not know how to tell time. There was a thing that, show the other day that I saw on TV. And they were doing interviews. They brought people up, older individuals like in their 30s and 40s or like 40s and 50s, and younger generations, their early 20s. And they were doing different things like asking them this from the younger generation and so forth. Well, the girl's like 22 years old, and the host pulls out a clock, you know, regular clock. And it's set at like 3:20 or something like that. And she goes, what time is it? And she goes, It's 4:15, 4:20. And she kind of shakes her head. She looks at the other guy and goes, it's 3:15. She goes, oh. That's how dumbed down the population is becoming, guys. We can't even read clocks anymore in our younger generation. That, to me, is an abysmal failure. And if they think the school system is doing good by doing that, we got another thing coming to us in 10 to 15 years, especially if we ever have some type of EMP or electronic crisis and these phones and clocks and these little wristwatches with these little digital watches don't work anymore. How in the world is anybody going to even keep time and function because they have no idea how to even read a clock when they're in their 20s, Dad? That's embarrassing to society, in my opinion.
And again, it's Frankfurt School, which is communist ideology, communist indoctrination, brought to you by the Rothschild Kabbalah Satanists. It's always these guys. You say, well, gosh, it always is, because they're the ones that have brought us Common Core. They're the ones that brought us the perversion. They're the ones that brought us the doggone pornography. They're the ones, they brought all of it to us because they wanted to destroy Christianity, because they know that Jesus is the name above all names, and they can't deal with it because they crucified the Son of Glory. And had they known what they were doing, they would have never crucified him because of the blood of Christ. They never would have done it. The Bible says that, because these guys got basically trapped in their own little thing they did. Remember what the Bible says, don't dig a pit for somebody else to fall into. You can fall in it yourself. And that's what they did. And these guys can't turn off the transmitter from the blood of Christ that's going to be forever and ever, because he's an omnipresent being. They can't shut it down. So his blood is there to cover all of our sins for all eternity. It says that in Hebrews, no sacrifice for sin is any longer necessary. That's why when Christians come up and they throw money into a third temple so that animal sacrifices can begin again, what kind of nonsense is that? Well, what Bible are they reading? And that's the problem. They're not reading any Bible. They're being told by a name it, claim it, blab it, grab it Christian, basically pastor, supposedly, that this is what they're supposed to be doing. And, these are the guys that have the multiple jets and the multiple mansions and the multiples. And they just keep the people dumbed down, because they don't want them to realize what the Bible really says. Think about that again. And remember, Soros is going into these big evangelists and paying off their churches, paying off their debt. They got to make sure they promote his agenda. And these guys are falling for it, guys, and they're doing it. Yesterday I sent that Kobe's dark music cage. I posted it on the website. I'll post it again about what in the world Kobe was involved with. And Karen wrote me an interesting letter back. She said, this dark muse cage is so evil, it's so demonic. Thanks for the link. They use these celebrities to push their dark agenda. This is the same group again that was targeting children. He will simply use as a fuel to power his game. Quote, words and images talk about the dark energy that empowers Satan and can empower those who serve him. The colors, the red, the black, the white, the images, that's all done on purpose. I wonder if he came out of it and they killed him, or was he a sacrifice? Who knows? This would be an open door to demons to harass him for sure. I wonder how many other open doors he had opened to the dark side. These people are given a dark anointing to convince others of their dark magic arts. Satan, however, is defeated. Guys, it's so important that we understand this, that Satan is under our feet. He's no consequence to us, because the war, when Jesus said it was finished, it wasn't just a metaphor. He meant it was finished. It was done. It's over with. This whole war is done. We have to worry about it, because death, oh death, where is thy victory? Where is thy sting? See, this is the stuff that we've got to look at, and we've got to make sure that we understand that this battle was fought on Calvary on our behalf, because God looked down and said, yeah, this is the pits, man. This is awful what's happened down here. We're going to fix it, and we're going to insert Jesus Christ into the timeline. Remember, God's on the present, and he's going to come in, and he's going to fix all of this for mankind if you believe in him. This is why these guys have had this atavistic hatred of Christ for thousands of years. It's been this battle raging in the heavenlies between good and evil. Guys, reality is that battle is going to, those wars and those fights are going to continue to go on, but we're already on the winning side because we have a relationship with Jesus. I love you guys. I appreciate you. A lot of information on today's show. Do me a favor and get this to as many people as you possibly can. Those who like Trump, those who don't like Trump, those who like our government, who don't like our government, it doesn't make any difference. Let them listen to today's show. It was my honor and my privilege to again pray for you guys this morning. I love you guys. I appreciate you, and I will talk to you tomorrow. Also, go ahead and finish it up.
Yes, absolutely, guys. And again, continue just to protect our young children, please. You know, when you got kids, be cautious of what they're getting exposed to. Don't go exposing a lot of these really weird movies they have all the time, like the Beauty and the Beast and all this weird sick stuff they're constantly doing. Just think about it before you expose them to that. I mean, if they want to go watch this stuff and they're late teenagers, I mean, whatever. They're basically adults at that point. You can't, you know, you can't legislate morality onto them. Once they're adults, they're going to do what they want, hopefully raise them right. But be confident and sure that you know that you're not knowingly exposing to this stuff at such a young age, because everybody's getting desensitized. I mean, just be honest, we all are. I mean, even what you saw just on television and how people talked and what was around back in the 90s has completely changed now. You know, we're in 2020. I mean, the topics that people bring up, things that you see in public, things that you see on television, things that you see in the schools, I mean, it's changed. And again, I mean, times change. There's no doubt about it. But just because times are changing doesn't mean you have to compromise your morals and ethics. It doesn't mean that you have to continue to allow your children to be exposed to more and more debauchery, because that's the way it is now. It's not the case. You know, raise your kids upright. Teach them how to be respectful. I mean, I try to do it all the time with Hunter. You know, sometimes he gets shy around new people and stuff, but I always try to think, hey, I'm starting on yes, sir, no, sir, yes, ma'am, no, ma'am. You know, speak when somebody, an adult talks to you, talk to them. You know, don't ignore them. And when you're at a table, you know, sit up, act like a professional adult. That's a thing. And act like you're at a nice dinner, eating dinner. And granted, you know, they're 2-3 years old, both of them are. So, I mean, they're going to do things sometimes and act, you know, certain ways. But don't just dumb them down and give them an iPad just to keep them sedated, you know, sedated when they're at dinner time. That to me is one of the biggest pet peeves I've ever seen in my life. So when I go into a dinner, I go to a restaurant, and there's kids sitting there, and they're 2, 3, 4, 5 years old, and they're just buried in an iPad so everybody can sit there and talk and have a good little time and not have to worry about their children, instead of actually making their children understand that this is how you act when you go out in public. This is how you act when you're in a restaurant. You don't have to be constantly entertained by electronics 24/7, because you're setting your kids up for failure, and you're setting them up for a whole lot of problems, especially with dopamine and serotonin in the brain. When you start giving them these tools, and I say that clearly, tools, not crutches, when they get older. Thank you again for the support. Be sure to check out the website, healthmasters.com. Lots of different things going on right now. Looks like we do have the food buckets coming in today or tomorrow, so we'll be getting them on the website very, very soon. And again, the product of the week will be going up shortly as well. Looks like the B-Complex One product of the week. So thank you for your support. Have a blessed, safe, awesome night, and we'll talk to you again tomorrow as always.